How much does the state still owe Western?
We sit at about $19.6 million in terms of what they owe us. Last year at the same time, it was about $19.1. Those are June 1st figures.
Last year, when did you actually get that money?
In the first part of December. I don't know the exact date, but in the first 2 weeks of December, we finally got the rest of it. Now, we got some ongoing through the fall, but the final payment was received in December.
So about 6 months behind schedule.
Yes, 6 months. That's what they've been running the last couple of years.
All right. Or maybe more. I mean, in a normal year, when would you have received all your state money?
In a normal year, the lapse period is 2 months. So they were supposed to have paid us by August 31st. And then several years ago, when they started getting behind, they extended that lapse period till December 31st. So, 10 years ago, 7 years ago, we would have expected to have received all of our money by August 31st. But we also wouldn't have been behind by $19 million at this date either. We would only have been owed a couple million for those last couple payrolls.
So what sort of pressure has that put on the university the past couple of years?
Well, actually, it's been pretty difficult to manage the cash flow. There's only so much cash to go around, and we essentially end up using our reserves to float the state during those times when they haven't paid us what they owe us. So there's a pressure to not spend in order to have as much cash in the bank to make payrolls. And then once we know we have enough cash, especially during the summer months when we don't have as much tuition coming in, to get through that July payroll till August 1st, and then tuition starts coming in again. So it has certainly increased those kind of pressures.
How close do you come to depleting the reserves, or do those continually get replenished?
The reserves at different times do get pretty low. There are times where we have been well less than $10 million, which is what our monthly payroll and expenses typically come out to for appropriated dollars. So we've been, in fact, there was, I believe, one point in the last 3 years we were less than $5 million dollars in the bank account, per se, to be able to float those things. And then we got a payment from the state. So we teeter anywhere right now between $5 and $20 million on those low months. But again, it takes $10 million to run the university every month. So it doesn't take long for those reserves to be depleted.
Yeah, what would you like to have in reserve?
I think we're at a comfortable place. If the state was paying their bills, we're at a very comfortable place with our reserve now. We have around the $20 million mark in reserve, but we are using that constantly to float payrolls. So that's a good number in good times. In rough times, we're making it with $20 million. But if the state gets any more behind, we're going to have to consider how we might have to grow that reserve just a little bit. I mean, we don't want to hoard money. That's not the intent. But we got to make sure we can also operate and meet the needs of our employees and can do payroll.
What about the state budget that was approved by the legislature? I believe funding is held steady for the coming fiscal year. Does that alleviate some of the pressure?
It appears that it will take a little bit of pressure off of one of those unknowns that we had described several weeks ago in our budget presentations. We were concerned that the governor had proposed a 5% cut to higher ed, and they have kept us at this point at a level. Now, the governor hasn't signed that bill, so we still wait for that. And we're very we're cautiously optimistic, and we're very grateful to the legislature for recognizing that higher ed is a need in our state, in our state, and certainly in the region. But it doesn't alleviate all the pressures, as we talked about in those March or those May budget sessions. The pressures from the state was one of the pressure, enrollment was one of the pressures, and expense increases, our salary increases, were the other. So, yes, we're grateful that one of those three prongs looks like it's going to come out what we would consider positive for FY14. But we still have the other two that we need to monitor very closely. We continue to monitor enrollment, and at this point, we still have a 3.5% salary increase that's contractually obligated to our faculty and many of our staff, and we're going to do what we can to meet those obligations.
Do you think you'll be able to? Will the university be able to provide those pay increases?
Yes, and the reason we'll be able to provide those is because of those $4.8 million in cuts that were outlined in March. Those or in May, excuse me. Those go forward as planned. That had nothing to do, no bearing on whether the state cut our budget or gave us flat funding. We'll go forward with those $4.8 million in cuts, which is essentially the cost of the salary increases going forward for 14.
And what about enrollment then? I know it's too early to say the official enrollment, but the university must certainly have a feel for what enrollment is going to look like in the fall. How is it shaping up?
Well, I would tell you that our staff is working more diligently than I've ever seen them work on trying to recruit students and get students, and that's in all areas. I think we've seen some success and expect a little bit of increase in our international enrollment. I think we've seen some efforts in our graduate enrollment that will produce at least level or a little bit up in graduate enrollment. Transfers we expect to be nearly even, maybe a little down right now. And the big number is freshmen, and freshmen is somewhat unknown. I think our admissions staff are very optimistic that they'll hit the same numbers we had this last year. And I, based upon the numbers this last Friday, I think that seems to be more and more positive. Probably the biggest hurdle for us has to do with our retention of our current students. And if there's a dip of enrollment, it'll probably be in our retention efforts. And there's a number of reasons for that, but I think we've got some strategies in place through our first-year experience program to for the new incoming freshman class to mitigate those, as well as through some of the other things that we've put in place and to try to intervene in some of those students' situations to help them through things. And that's both financially as well as socially and those kind of adjustments for college.
Yeah, do you have a general idea of why retention is so difficult, or maybe you just addressed those? I mean, is it partly a social thing, partly financial? What would it be?
Well, I think, if you had asked me that question 5 years ago, I think it's an adjustment to college and students not being ready for college. I think today it's as much financial as it is anything else. We're seeing more and more students that are struggling to be able to afford to come to college or to stay at college. You know, they get through a semester or a year, and then they have no financial means to figure out how to do that second year. And that's why us doing it is what we can to mitigate the impact of tuition increases, and the state providing support to us is so important so we don't put this on the backs of our students. But right now, more and more of the trend is it's financial in nature for students not be able to come back.
Does that mean, in addition to all the other things we've talked about, that you also closely monitor student loan programs at the federal and state levels? It sounds like those are pretty important to you also.
Sure. We as a university do monitor that very closely. Our financial aid office does most of that monitoring for both the state MAP grants, especially the ISAC program, and then as well as any federal Pell and other kind of federal loan or grant programs. They're constantly, and I'm in contact with them all the time to figure out what's happening. In fact, part of the sequestration that happened this last 6 months actually affected some of those dollars, and we lost some of those dollars and had to make them up as an institution. And that, you know, that's sort of that other unfunded mandate that we're used to. It's the same with veterans grants from last year. And we had a great veterans grant program from the state, and they said a year ago, well, we're not going to fund it, but you still have to have it. So then we make up all the difference in that $1 million-plus veterans grants for the year. And so we get kind of used to that, but we do certainly monitor that very closely.
You lost $1 million plus last year from the states because of them dropping a veterans program. And did they reinstitute that this year, or is that something you're not getting this year either?
Yeah, there's no funding for veterans grants. In fact, they passed further legislation, which is great for our veterans. And I don't know the specifics of the legislation, but if you are a veteran that served in a specific time period or using specific you receive specific federal money, we are required to give those students in-state tuition, regardless of what state they come from, if they want to come to Western. So it's a great program, but they don't provide any funding for us to make up that difference between in-state and out-of-state tuition. So that's pretty typical that they pass, which is, I'm not saying it's bad legislation, but it has an financial impact to us.
What's the financial impact of sequestration on Western? Do you know?
I think if memory serves, it was $20,000-$30,000 of impact to those federal programs that we had. That's a guess. I'd have to confirm that with Bob Anderson in financial aid.
Okay. What sort of is that scholarship money then that's not coming in, or what is it?
It's federal financial aid dollars.
Okay, $20,000 to $30,000.
Yeah,
you think?
Yeah, roughly.
All right, not in the millions.
No. It was a very small amount.
All right, but I guess in these times, every little bit matters.
Every dollar counts. We'll take it all that we can get.
All right. So, what is Western's budget for next fiscal year?
We are sitting at $242 million as an entire campus. The money that we monitor very closely on the instructional side will be $127 million as our preliminary spending plan that was passed by the Board of Trustees last Friday.
All right. And $242 million is the overall budget?
The overall. That includes our auxiliaries, our grant office, all of our local accounts, the fees and everything. Our state appropriated... is $127 million, yes,
okay.
$127. So that's the instructional side. So that's where our faculty are paid from, many of the people who support the instructional side of our campus. So anything that excludes auxiliaries, and that excludes our locally fee-funded groups as well as grants.
So your total from the state is $127 million?
No, the total from the state will be $52.1 million okay. of that. And then the tuition side is about $75 million.
Okay, to come up with that $127,
yes.
And so where does the rest of the money come between $127 and $242?
Okay, that comes from our auxiliaries, which will be some of our fees for, like, campus recreation and the University Union, as well as room and board for housing and dining programs, and then a bunch from generated funds on campus that are such as parking, our document and publication services facility and their operation, our grants income from the state of Illinois and from federal grants, all that kind of calculates into that $242.
All right. And is this pretty much a status quo budget, or is there anything big or new in the budget that people might want to know about?
It is essentially a status quo budget. In fact, it's actually... Overall, because our auxiliaries are having a tough year, they cut by $1 million. So it's actually $1 million less. Now, when we come out with our revised plan for fall for the Board of Trustees to approve in October, it may reflect some more changes. But for right now, on the instructional side of the campus, it's fairly a flat budget. I will note that while the state passed essentially a level budget for higher ed and a level budget for Western, we did receive $600,000 as a pass-through to a independent group out of the Quad Cities. The legislature basically used Western as the vehicle to fund the Quad Cities Manufacturing Lab. So it's going to look like when it's published that our appropriation went up by $600,000. But that money we have a memorandum of understanding with the legislature. That money is to be set aside and go directly to the Quad Cities Manufacturing Lab through our budget. So it was just a way that they had to do it to fund that group. So it doesn't support our students get some benefit from that because our engineering students up there will be able to use that facility. But it's essentially independent from Western.
All right. Anything you want to add about the budget?
No, it's tough times, but we continue to do what we need to do and manage as conservatively as we can. And I think we'll come out of this on top in a few years, but it's still going to be a few more years of some pain and heartache.
All right. Thanks.
Yep.